Antonio Pita and his wife Esther. His wife was not able to come, but they are from Calgary. They have three daughters, and they Antonio will be speaking to us this morning and this evening, and so we look forward to what God has laid on your hearts. Will you turn with us to John chapter 4? John chapter 4. For Antonio, English is his second language, and so he wanted me to interpret this for him. So he asked if I would read this passage of Scripture. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, first of all. This is talking about Jesus. Now he had to go through Samaria, and so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. And then let's go down to verse 16 to 18. Jesus told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." And then down to verse 27. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked him, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. God's blessings,
brother. Good afternoon. Still morning, I think. Carrie, we have a different time. No, I'm just kidding. I was originally born in Mexico, northern Mexico. For those that know Mexico, San Luis Potosí was where I was born. My parents were there just working in that state, but they moved when I was about a month. I grew up in Mexico City till about 15 years old. I always felt like an outsider in Mexico City. Then my parents moved from Mexico City back to their hometown, which was in Veracruz State. And I felt also like an outsider there. I got married. And we live in five different states in Mexico before moving to the USA. When we were in the USA, we lived in California and then Minnesota. And finally, we came to Winnipeg, where we became believers. We're a product of a Spanish outreach ministry, a Mennonite ministry. So I feel like I was born in Canada, at least spiritually. I'm sure God was only preparing me to serve him. Missions are all about people on the move. God in the Old Testament uses people who, because of any circumstance in their lives, were on the move, or God asked them to go places. People like Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Jonah, etc. Jesus himself was on the move ever since he was a little baby. And he always ministers in places far away from home, most of the time at least. So, I love that every time Jesus reaches people, he is on the go. And Jesus is either walking or passing through places where he meets people who are also on the go. To that, I would like to share a story of one of Jesus' trips, the one Pastor Peter read about. So Jesus show us that no matter where we are, we need to see the opportunities that are all around us to share the love of God for the people. In the context of our passage, Jesus is returning from Judea to Galilee, and so he has to pass through a region called Samaria. The inhabitants of these regions were the Samaritans. The Samaritans were a race form of a mix between Israelites and Assyrians and other races. They were people who were not from there originally. They were outsiders, like me and like all the Mennonite people. The Samaritans were despised by the Jews, and the Jews were despised by the Samaritans also. And Jesus is walking just through that place. There was another way, but Jesus goes into this region, and in that context, Jesus talks to this Samaritan woman when his disciples go into town to buy food. We are called to embrace people we consider different and see them as potentials for the kingdom of God. The Samaritan was a woman. In those times, men did not usually speak to women if they were not their wives or family members. Does that sound familiar to you? But Jesus embraces women and lifts them to the same level as men. The Samaritan woman had a different religion. The Samaritans worshipped in Mount Gerizim, which was in their own province, we'll call it that. As in their cultural background, the religion was also a mixing of paganism and Judaism. However, Jesus lovingly corrects the religious assumptions of the Samaritan woman. Jesus speaks to her with respect, but engages her with the truth. She was not only a Samaritan woman and the member of a different religion. She was also a person of a questionable reputation. Samaritan woman was in her sixth relationship with different men. But Jesus embraced her and directed her to the real worship of God. So we are called to leave our comfort zones. Brenda Salter McNeil says in her book, A Credible Witness, to be a credible witness of the gospel, we must begin with a mandate from God. And this divine mandate will bring us in contact with people like the Samaritan woman, with people who are unlike us. People that are from a different racial background, a different gender, a different social level, a different age, a different set of religious beliefs. They're probably from the old colony, Summerfield, or whatever. Or different reputations, even. For those that can come to God, the floor is just level at the foot of the cross. God accepts people just as they are. So Jesus shows his disciples a new way of seeing the people of the world. I'm going to talk a little bit about ministry in Calgary. The church we're working with, we're helping planting, we're people from six different countries right now. The only thing we have in common is just the language, which is Spanish. But if some of you who can speak some Spanish, maybe some of you are from Bolivia or from Mexico, and might probably speak a little bit of Spanish. And if you come to someone that is from other country in Latin America, you'll find out that you have a lot of different expressions, a very different customs and all of that. So in our ministry, we have different expressions, different cultures, different worldviews, and everything else. It's different. It's just the language is what it's common between us. So Canada, it's a multicultural country, especially in the cities. There, we can find a lot of different groups of people represented. In the cities, there's a great need of witnesses. Also here in Acre. Everywhere. But especially in the cities. We have missions all around the world. But we also have need for missionaries right in our backyard. I'm going to show you that. And if Pastor Peter can read for us the next, I'll appreciate that.
Same chapter, verses 35 to starting there. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe. Harvest. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap for what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor.
So that's how we should look at the harvest. And now, La Crete and High Level are very into farming, right? So you should know about that. I grew up in a city, big city like Mexico. You never know anything about farming. So I'm an ignorant in those sense. But this is my family here. Esther's my wife. Janet, my oldest daughter, she's 18 years old. She's going to Bible college. Then Stephanie, the one that beat me racing. And then Jennifer, which is the little one there. And please pray for us as we're into the battlefield. We started our Bible studies about a year ago in the month of October. And we've kept doing it there until we saw this. And then we knew we couldn't have it in homes anymore. So we moved into a building. And that was just last September 19th. And that's our charter members of the church. Around 60 people, between children and adults. And we're just glad that a lot of you are praying for us, and we know we couldn't be doing this if you weren't praying for us. I really want to thank you for this and for your prayers. We have Latin America. We have people in all those places. Also from Canada, which is not in the picture there. It's too big to be there, so. Spanish-speaking population in Canada, it's about half million people in 2003. There is about 30,000 Spanish-speaking people at least in Calgary. At least that was back in 2003. Make the math. Few churches, at least 29 Spanish-speaking people in Calgary, not going to any church. I will ask you to pray for boldness so we can share the gospel to the people, for guidance and wisdom as we plant the church and leaders rise up. So, mission. Mission is about people on the go. And we know all about that. I actually say we because I feel Mennonite. Even you can look at my color here. It's about people on the go. 1 Peter 2:11 says that we are aliens and strangers. All of us. Not only missionaries, but all of us, like that we were hearing before. There is a lot of different groups, a lot of different people and ages and everything else, and we can reach them and love them. We need to reach people like us, sure, that's good. But also, those that we consider different to, whether they come from a different racial background, as I told you, gender, social status, nationality, age, religious beliefs, or different reputations. They all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And I'm happy for Asa and his wife are working with the native people in Canada. There's a big opportunity for them to meet the Lord. Says amen for that. Finally, just open your eyes. Look to where the Lord calls you. The fields are ready. He wants to use you even the way he used the Samaritan woman. Whatever you work, whatever you do, you can be a witness for Christ. I'm going to read John 4, 39 to 42 right now. Should probably read it in Spanish. And you can go in English. It says, if I can find it, yes. Many of the Samaritans from that town believe in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They say to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you say. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Heavenly Father, just ask that you will open our eyes so that we can see the fields are ready, the fields are ripe for harvest. Help us see all the needs around us in our community, in La Crete, in Northern Alberta, in Calgary, in Vancouver, everywhere in Canada. Just help us see all the need there is in this beautiful country of ours. Says that even for people that you call to missions, to other parts of the world, that you open their eyes to so they can go. So whether they go as working different professions or as church planters, you will use them for your glory. Thank you for being the God that you are. The God that accepts people. The God that calls people to your kingdom. Bless us as we hear the call and see the fields ready. In Jesus' name, amen.